Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Chof Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief format and introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin in the middle of Daf Chof Zayin. You'll notice a Mishnah. If you like, you can count 15 lines from the top. We continue with the Mishnayos that describe that which we saw at the very beginning of the perek, different kinds, different categories of vows that do not take hold. Nidrei Oinsin. Hidiru Chavero Shiyochal Etzlo. A person, we say Mr. A, imposed a vow on Mr. B to motivate him to for Mr. B to visit Mr. A and join him in a meal. V'cholahu oi shechola benoi, the vower took ill, or his son took ill. O sheikvoi nahar, or the river that he ordinarily would have to cross to get to the host swelled so that he couldn't cross it anymore. Hare Elu Nidre Oinsin. These are examples of Nidorim that are not binding. When the host imposed a vow, he imposed a vow assuming that the circumstances would have enabled the guest to arrive. And only under those circumstances was the vow ever imposed. But if these circumstances beyond their control arose, so the vow was never intended under such circumstances. We take a look at the Ran commentary. You'll notice on the first of the widest lines under the Rashi commentary, Harevu Nidre Einsin Lefishelo Ola Abdaito, it didn't occur to him, Lesar Nechosov Al Chavero, to impose a prohibition on his friend from benefiting from his property, Imlo Yochal Imo, the vow was intended only when the guest could have come and did not do so. But anyone who was, let's say, subject or the victim of any kind of oness, circumstances beyond one's control, even if it's partial, for example, the child took ill, and the father has to watch him, so he can't come to partake of a meal. So mutar the lav adaita dehochi adre, the vow is not binding because it was never made with this in mind. We turn now to the Gemara, and on the side of the Gemara we have a topic heading, the nosei, which reads, Nanas v'lo yochol l'kayim t'no. A person found himself victim of circumstances beyond his control, and he couldn't fulfill the conditions, the stipulations. Hare ha'im ho'inyin chal b'chozos. Does the matter concerned take effect anyway? Oyam rinon onus rachmona patri. Or do we say that because of the oinus circumstances, the Torah exempts him? Now the Gemara. Hahu gavro da'atfis zachvisa b'veid dino. There was a man that had documents, had shtoros, that entitled him to collect money from people. And he entrusted these shtoros to a court. For whatever reason, he had to go home, So he had. So he decided to leave these documents in the court. And he says to the court, "V'omar, ilo asino atal sinyomen. If I don't come within 30 days, liftalun hani zachvisoi. Then all my claims that are represented in these documents shall be void." So he's thereby relinquishing his claims if he doesn't show up within 30 days. Isnis veloso. Some type of uncontrollable circumstances arose and he didn't come back. Omar Rav Huna, batel zachvisei. Rav Huna says, as he originally stipulated, the claims are void. Omar le Rabo, onus hu. His inability to fulfill his conditions were because of ones circumstances beyond his control. The onus rachmono patre, and when it comes to circumstances beyond one's control, when he's forced into a situation, the Torah exempts them. Dichtiv, we now cite a posuk involving a girl that's she's called an arusa. She's married to a man, and someone other than her husband came and raped her. And it says ulanaro loisase dover. The penalty for having intimacy when you're dealing with a married woman, so there's a death penalty associated with that. If the woman willingly had relations with another man, so she's subject to death penalty. Here, she was raped beyond her control, and the Torah says we don't do anything to her. She's not punished whatsoever. What do we see from this? That when you're dealing with circumstances beyond your control, you're not bound. You might argue that's no proof, because there you were dealing with a death penalty. Katla is death. And true that when it comes to, let's say, preserving a life, the life of that woman, so we're not going to do anything to her because it was beyond her control. In other words, we're not going to put her to death. So when it comes to matters like that, then we reckon with the onus. But in our case, involving money matters, maybe the onus is insignificant and we don't reckon with it, and we follow the original stated conditions. Ah, but that's not true. V'hatnan nidre oinsin, an example of ones in the case of vows, we saw in our Mishnah. Hediru chavero shio chaletzlo. A man imposed a vow on his friend to come to eat with him. The chola hu o shechola benoi. He took ill, or his son took ill, Oshikvo Nohar, or he was prevented by coming because of the river. It became too wide to cross. Hare Elu Nidrei Oinsin. These are examples of onus. So that Rabbah insists that the claims represented in those shtoros that were entrusted to Beis Din are still valid, even though he didn't show up within 30 days, because his inability to show up was because of ones circumstances. The Gemara now raises questions on Rabbah. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, mivneh, combined with the structural note. The house shape appears and represents shtei kushios al Rabbah. These are two questions raised against Rabbah, Shomar Onus Rachmona Patre. Mimakoros Shetovi Hagamor Nirash Afopi Shoya Oines Becholzos Hadover Chal. Even from the sources that the Gemara will present, it seems that even though there were Ones circumstances, nevertheless that does not prevent the matter in question from taking effect. So we raise a question. Also note that it's a long question. Ulo Rabo Maishno Mehadisnan. What is different about the previous case to that which is taught now in this source. Hare zekitech me'achshov im lo bosi mikan ad yud beis chodesh. A man gives a divorce document, a get, to his wife and stipulates that this divorce shall take hold from now if I don't show up within 12 months. Let's just point out parenthetically that a woman who is divorced is then free to marry anyone she wants, as opposed to a woman that, let us say, is left a widow. In the event that there are no children, she will have to marry the surviving brother, her husband's surviving brother, which we call Yibum. And there are many times that her brother-in-law is someone undesirable. In order to, let's say, obviate the need for Yibum, a person might be motivated to divorce his wife, thereby sparing her of Yibum. That's a very general remark, but bearing that in mind, we continue with this source. So a man gave a divorce document declaring that let it take hold from right now if I don't show up within 12 months. Umeis besoch yud beis chodesh. And this fellow who went away, he didn't show up within 12 months because he died within the 12 months. Hare zeget. The divorce nevertheless goes through. Amai, why do we say that the divorce goes through? Why don't we simply view her as an almona? V'homeinas osnis. His inability to come back was because of ones circumstances, namely death. And yet we see that we don't reckon with that. We don't consider that a factor. We just look at the stated condition. And, well, he didn't show up within 12 months, and therefore she is considered divorced. The Gemara says, Rabbo answers, Amri, Dilma Shaini Hosam. I'll tell you, that case is different with the get. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. The Ihava Yoda Demis, the husband, had he known that he was going to die, Min La'alter Hava Gomar V'yohiv Gita, he would have given the get immediately. In other words, his interest is to see that his wife is spared of Yibum. He thought he would come back within 12 months, but one thing was very clear, and that is that his main interest was to see to it that she would not become a widow and thereby be subject to Yibum. So the case of the divorce is different. However, in the case of a person who had documents enabling him to claim money, and he said that he plans to come back within 30 days in order to maintain his claims, if he didn't come back, he didn't return to the court because of ones circumstances, well, we do take that into consideration, and he will not lose his ability to continue placing the claims represented in those shtaros, those documents. Another question, though. Again, a long question. My shno meahu de omar lohu. What is different about the entrusted documents in the court from the following case? A man had given a divorce document to his wife and stipulated, Ilo asino mikana talsen yomin leve gita. If I don't return, if I don't come here within 30 days, so then let the get take effect. Let her be divorced. Also, the man is coming on day 30, and upaske mavra, but yet he couldn't get across the river, the ferries stopped running, so he couldn't get across the river. Omar Lahu, from the other side of the river, he screams, Chazu Dasoy, Chazu Dasoy, do you see? I've come back. I've come back. And he, but technically, he didn't come exactly to the point that he had stipulated. He's stuck on the other side of the river, and he's saying, consider it as if I've come, I've met my conditions of returning within 30 days. V'yomar Shmuel, lo shmei masyo. And Shmuel says, sorry, buddy, it's not considered arrival. You're stuck on the other side of the river. Am I? Well, why do we say that he is considered... why are we saying that the get takes hold for Hominis Anis? Isn't he not the victim of an Ones? In other words, he truly intended to have his condition fulfilled, and the only reason the condition which would have prevented the get from taking effect, the only reason that condition was not met was because of Ones circumstances, and it seems that we don't reckon with the Ones. So again, we see a question on Rabbah. Rabbah placed a premium on the Ones, that we have to take that into consideration, and here we see we don't. The Gemara responds, Dilma oinso de megalio shiny, umabro migli oinse. Now, following the Rosh commentary, the case of the ferry not arriving or not being on the scene when he was coming back is an ones, but it's a common ones. It's true, it's not something that the husband had decided that it should be. In other words, the ferry is controlled by other factors, not the husband. But nevertheless, it's something that's common. It's an oinus that's shchiach. And if he really wanted the get to be stopped because of circumstances like this, he should have stipulated thusly. Something that's an onus that's common is something that he should have mentioned. The fact that he didn't stipulate let my arrival be considered an arrival even if the boats aren't operating, and since he didn't mention that, it seems that he isn't concerned with that he's willing to forego that, and therefore the get takes effect. If we look in the Rosh commentary, he says, "Shiny Mabro, the Oinsa de Shriachu, the Ikvoy Nodem Asnisen," the case of the river in the Mishnah, which there we said was a real Ones, a real extenuating circumstance. Haine Shigodol Hanor Meafshoras Shlogim. There, the river swelled as a result of melting snows. V'ef shalavurbo, and as a result, it was impossible to cross it. The lo shchiach. That's an unusual event, and that's something that a person couldn't have possibly taken into consideration. Wouldn't have ever thought of mentioning it when he was making his conditions. But things that that are common, he should have stipulated that, spelled it out, that let my arrival be considered arrival even if the boats aren't operating. Since he didn't mention that, it seems that he was interested in the get taking effect even if the reason for his not arriving was because of the boats. The Gemara continues, Ula Rav Huna Michti. Rav Huna mentioned that the shtoros are going to be void because he didn't come back within 30 days. We ask, why does the stipulation that he made have any binding effect? Michti, let's look into this. Asmachtohi. This is a very well-known principle. Find it in quite a few different places in the Shas. It's called asmachta. Asmachta has to do with claims and stipulations that people make, but they think that those conditions or stipulations will never come to be. In other words, they'll say something, but they don't really think it's going to come to be. If we take a look in the Rashi, Ula Rav Huna, we're looking at Rashi in the narrow lines, less than halfway down. Ula Rav Huna, the Yomar, Botlon Zachvasei, Amai. According to Rav Huna, that said that the claims that he has through those documents are actually void because he didn't come back within 30 days, even though they were onus circumstances. But Ha'asmachtahu, Dvorim Be'alma, V'samach Aldaito, Kosavar Shu Yocholovo Bezmano. When he said those shtoros will be bought if I don't show up within 30 days, he didn't think for a second that he wasn't going to show up within 30 days. He thought it was a real shoo-in that he was going to be able to get back within 30 days. That's why he was willing to to take the risk, so to speak, and say, oh, if I don't come back within 30 days, let them be void, because he never thought it would ever come to that. Statements like that, that you're basically not serious about, that's called asmachta. The asmachta lo kanya. Stipulations and conditions that are of that nature are not binding. So why, according to Rav Huna, are the claims represented by those documents void? The Gemara answers, Shaini hocha, the mitfisin zechusan. The reason that the condition takes hold is because the shtoros were entrusted. They were entrusted into the court's possession. And as a result of that, we say that it's considered as if he had already collected it. Rashi says, "Shani hocha lachi koni the atvis zechusei lebeistin the kegovui domi." It's as if it's collected already. In other words, it's as if the debts that he had to collect were collected already. V'lo havi asmachta, because of this phenomenon of the documents being entrusted into the possession of the court, it's not considered an asmachta. The Gemara asks, this question is a long question. It says, V'hecho de mitfisan lav asmachta, just because the documents were entrusted into another party's domain, it's not considered asmachta. V'ho tenan, misha pora mitzas chovo. A person had a debt to pay up, and he paid up half the debt. V'hishlish es shtoro. The original document of debt was entrusted to a third party. The Omar, and the debtor announced, Im ein ani noisei loy mikanat shloishim yom, if I don't pay the balance of my debt within 30 days, tein lo shtoro, give the original loan document back to the lender, which would enable the lender to collect the full amount. Even though half was already paid up, if these conditions aren't met, I am willing to pay the whole amount as he just indicated it. Namely, tein lo shtar, give the shtar, the bill of credit, back to the creditor. Higia zman velo nosan. The 30 days came and the borrower did not pay up the balance. Rabbi Yossi Oimer Itain. Rabbi Yossi says, no, give the bill of credit back to the lender. Rabbi Yuda Oimer Lo Itain. Rabbi Yuda says, no, it's not to be given back to the lender. The Omar of Nachman, Omar Rabo Bar of Omar Rav, Ein Halocha Kurabi Yossi, the Omar. Asmachta kanya. We do not follow Reb Yossi, who held that asmachta kanya. Well, what do we see over here? We see that even though the shtar was entrusted to another party, it doesn't make it considered as if it's already paid up. Let's just go over that last point again, but this time looking in the Rashi on the second to last narrow line. Ein halocha v'chule, ha-hocha. This, in this case, afal gav de atfis hashtar biad hasholish, even though the document was put into the possession of a third party, hafya asmachta, it's still considered asmachta, velo kanyo l'taime de rav. And Rav rules that it's not binding. So the question once again is, Rav Huna above had said that if something is not considered an asmachta when the shtar is entrusted to an outsider, a third party. And since it's not considered an asmachta, the malve, the lender, was able to continue collecting his debts. That's what Rav Huna had ruled at the beginning of the sugya. Or let me correct myself. My apologies for the mistake. As a result of this, Rav Huna had said that the zechus is botel. And we asked, according to Rav Huna, why is his zechus botel? Was it not so that the whole stipulation was essentially an asmachta, and an asmachta is not kone, it's not binding? So Rav Huna answers, because the shtoros were entrusted to an outside party, it's not considered within the realm of asmachta. Yet here we see the case of the shtar entrusted to the shalish, and it still is considered in the realm of asmachta, and asmachta lo kanya. The Gemara answers, shaini hochab de omar livtulon zechusei. The case that Rav Huna was dealing with is different. You see, we have a little arrow indicating to look back to Omen Aleph. In the case that Rav Huna was dealing with, the lender went further. He said, let my claims be void. Because of that, say, announcement, there we see it's not an asmachta. But where you don't have a formal statement or declaration of that nature, named livdilin zechusoi, then it would, yes, in fact, be considered an asmachta. The Gemara now rules, v'hilchasa asmachta kanya. The statements that a person makes that he, or the conditions, the stipulations that he makes that he doesn't, that he really doesn't think are ever going to come to be, nevertheless, if they do come to be, it's binding. And we're adding that asmachta kanya, Rashi adds, even if the document was not entrusted to an outside party, it nevertheless is koine, nevertheless is binding. However, there are three conditions. V'hu delo onis, the asmachta comment will be binding provided that there was no ones circumstances that prevented his fulfillment of the conditions. V'hu dekonu minei bebeisin choshuv. In addition, a kinyan, let's say formal gesture will have to have been made, which is often done by the exchange of a handkerchief. We call that a kinyan. And that will show that the person is serious in his condition, and it must be done in the presence of a court of authority, of importance. So once you have all three conditions, that there's no onus, and there's a kinyan, and it's in a bezin chashuv, then even though the stipulation that he made, the conditions that he stated, sounded like an asmachta, nevertheless, he must abide according to his conditions. Before we conclude, let us remind you, if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.